Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see that's in it. And he created man after his own image. And he told them to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. And for almost 6,000 years, man has done just exactly that. In fact, there's some estimates, they say that there's about 8 billion or so people on the earth today. And they figure that there's probably been around 100 billion people that ever lived since the beginning of time. And God wanted man to reproduce and have families. And we're told over in Psalm 127 that children are a gift from God. And grandchildren, and for some of you, great-grandchildren. But he created Adam and Eve to be parents for their children, and so on and so on. So just out of curiosity, how many people here today are parents? Okay, very good. And how many of you here today are children? That's a trick question, because you should all raise your hand on that one. You know, it's interesting that the Bible definition of a child or children is a child is anything that's produced as a son or a daughter. So again, no matter how old you are, you'll always be a child. So with so many parents and children running around this earth, God made a commandment just for us. And he knew, though, that there was going to be some disobedience and some things that were going to go on. And that's why he created a set of laws. So let's go to start, and we're not going to go to Exodus yet, but let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read verse 1 through 5. Again, he knew that there was going to be disobedience, especially as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And we are living in the last times. Take a look, read the news, take a look around you and see. Some bad things going on right now. And he gives some hint as to what's going to happen. He says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And I'm going to read the rest of this because I want to put this in context. But he says, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitor, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. He lists disobedient to parents with some really bad things and some things that are indicating the return of Jesus Christ. Why? Because this has been going on since the beginning. This has been going on ever since Adam and Eve had their kids. And we all know what happened with Cain and Abel. But at the end of this verse says, from such people, turn away. Turn away. Don't be a part of those things, including those people who are disobedient to parents. So today, with the time that I have, I'd like to continue in my series, as you would guess, in the Ten Commandments. And I wanted to use this extra time in this split sermon because I feel that this commandment is actually the bridge between the first four commandments and the last five. And again, like I said, I wanted to put this in today's perspective, in today's terms, to make it relevant for us today. And today we're going to take a look at what it is, what does it mean to honor our parents, how we show honor to God, and then how this relates to showing honor to other people. So the title, if you're into titles and you're taking notes, the title of my message today is The Fifth Commandment, A Bridge of Respect. The Fifth Commandment, A Bridge of Respect. So let's begin as I have in the first four that we went through. Now we'll start with number five. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. And let's see what the Bible has to say about this fifth commandment. It's rather short and sweet, but there's a lot to it. Verse 12, Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother. that your days may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother, that as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which your God has given you. Now, I find this interesting because he gives a commandment and says, honor your fam, honor your mother and your father. And then with it comes a blessing of having long life, that your days may be long. So if you flip it around and you say, if you don't honor your parents, it means you're not going to have a long life. But more importantly, what's not really said but implied in this is that he says that your day, that it may be well with you in the land which your God gives you. It's kind of talking about something more broad, because it's talking about a society. And a stable family is a stable society. Again, it all starts in the house. And then as your children get older and grow up, they take it out into the world, and so on and so on. And again, this has been going on since the beginning of time. And again, we have gone downhill as a society, and it all starts because of a breakdown in the family unit. So what does it mean to honor? Now, I got to tell you, before I started this message, I had no clue just how important this word truly was. Because this word honor in the Hebrew means to be heavy. To be heavy. Now, I'm not talking back in 1970s where it's heavy, man. Right? But it is heavy. Or to be numerous or rich or honorable. And the opposite of that word heavy means to be a burden. Or so in other words, it's not a burden. We're not to be looking at our mothers and fathers as burdens, either as we're younger, looking at them as we're growing up, or even as we get older and we have to take care of our parents when they get older. It also means abounding with glory, or to be rich or weighty or magnificent. There is a very special meaning attached to the word honor, and it's given to those that are given to our parents. I think a heavy, if you've ever held a gold coin or a gold bar or silver, and you put it in your hand, it's got some weight to it. It's got some meaning and some heavy importance to that particular item. And that's how God looks at parents, how we're supposed to show them honor. In the Greek, it means to prize or fix a valuation upon, or to revere, or to find valuable or esteemed or beloved. Again, this blew my mind, because I'm sitting here and I'm going through these words like, wow. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. I'm sorry I didn't do that very good growing up. It's a deep meaning, and it's something that we need to give that great honor and respect to. It also means to be giving honor or glory is to say that someone is deserving respect, attention, or obedience. And we're going to get more into that a little bit deeper into that particular meaning, especially about obedience and respect. But the dictionary definition says it very simply. It's an outward respect or a symbol of distinction. So if something has been given an outward respect to, it means that we have to actually do something. We have to show some respect, not internally, but we actually have to do something. Again, it's a respect or show something that's high regard. Now, God wants us to learn how to show respect to our parents, because it's going to help us to teach us how to show him honor and respect. In turn, it's going to show how to show honor and respect to other people. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, this word honor is a very special word, and it denotes a very high value to God. He puts a high price on this. Again, it's a bridge between the first four and the last five of God's commandments. And I hope I have an opportunity to continue to give the rest of those commandments here in the next couple of months. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children. Now, when it says children here, we're referring to typically younger children, because you're under the home of your parents. But if you're still living at home, still a child, still follow the rules of your parents' house. Children, obey your parents. Obey. There's a bad word for for some kids to listen to these days. Obey means to comply with or follow the commands, restrictions, wishes, or instructions. It means to submit or conform to. Obey your parents. In the Lord. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute, what that means to be in the Lord. But he says, for this is right. This is right. This is what we're supposed to do. Young people, if you're out there listening, obey your parents. You know, they're parents, and we're going to talk about the parents' responsibility, because the parents, you have a very deep responsibility for your to raising your children. But you're supposed to obey and listen to what your parents have to say, because they know better, or they should know better. And then he quotes Exodus 20. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be well, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Again, children start learning about authority when they're young. They start learning about authority from the parents. Now, we said in the Lord. Barnes' note says this. It says, that is, as far as the commandments agree with those of God, and no further. No parent should have the right to require a child to steal, lie, cheat, or assist them in committing murder or doing anything that's wrong. It goes on to say that if you do confront your parents, that you should state to them with great gentleness and kindness that he believes that he ought to love and serve God. So there's a delicate balance there. But parents, you have a great responsibility to be able to teach your children how to do things the right way, God's way, and how he does it. And it goes on in verse 4. And you fathers, don't provoke your children. Or that word means irritate. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition to the Lord. Again, parents, this is why we take this is why we take discipline very seriously. Because how our children learn how to respect and submit to us, again, is how they're going to learn how to start submitting to God. And then in turn, have relationships with other people. And by the time they leave our homes, they should transfer or shift that authority that's recognized in us to others. Of course, that's the biggest reason why we shower our children with love and we show them a lot of concern and care. Because we don't want them growing up to think that God is some mean taskmaster and some evil man. Again, as parents, we have a responsibility to be honorable parents. Again, in the family unit, you know, we need to be God-oriented family, not parent-oriented family. There's a big difference there. Because as parents, you know, selfishly, we think we know everything and we want to tell it all to our kids. But if we're applying God's laws and we're doing it his way, then we'll be submitting to him, and then our children will be submitting to us. See, children are they're mimics. They copy everything they do. I love my granddaughter. She was just, again, Estella. I'm going to talk a lot about her up here for a while. But, you know, just watching her and seeing her and how she doesn't know how to do everything, but when you smile at her, she smiles back. And if you're disrespectful for your children, your children are going to be disrespectful to other people. And they're not going to have that good relationship with God. And they're always going to look at God as being somebody who's mean. You know, I tell my kids all the time, I was your age once, but I was never my age once. Right? I don't know what it's like to raise a 22-year-old beautiful daughter or a 25-year-old son or a 27-year-old. I've been their age before, but I don't know how to do it right. And we make mistakes, but we do our best and we try with the word of God, we try to apply his laws and give it to them for them, for their lives, so that they can carry it on to their families and go on in their life. But what happens if parents aren't deserving of respect? Now, I did a lot of research on this, and I found that actually United Church of God's booklet on the Ten Commandments says it the best. And I'd like to read this to you a little bit because I thought this was very eye-opening. It says, sadly, not all parents or grandparents are honorable parents or people. Properly respecting those whose behavior is less than honorable is not easy. You know, for instance, there's been victims of persistent verbal or physical or sexual abuse, and they find it difficult to honor the guilty parent. And I know people personally that, you know, that they didn't have a very good father in their life, and they think, well, how am I going to have a relationship with God who's supposed to be our father? That's deep. That's heavy. Again, God doesn't command in the fifth commandment that children and such parents continue to subject themselves to that mistreatment. You know, if you're in an abusive relationship, there's a way out. But we still need to honor our forebears, because the commandment doesn't say honor your mother and your father if they treat you nice. There isn't that caveat there. So how can we apply this commandment to them? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I read this last time when I gave a message on persecution, but I think it fits here too. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. First, we must deal with our own attitudes. Matthew 5, but he says, Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, sometimes there's just things that we can't deal on ourselves and we can't handle it on our own. And God says, put it in my hands and I'll take care of it. But pray for them. That's our responsibility. That's our job. We can't fix the other problems, but God says, leave it to me. And he says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Because in the end, we're all God's children. God's our Father. You know, we may strongly disapprove of the way our parents have brought us up, but again, we must not despise them as human beings and as people. God says that we are to love one another. And then finally, it says that we should conduct our lives in a way that honors them through the example that we set as their sons and daughters. When we leave that house and we go out there in the world, who people see you as individuals is how they should see your parents. So if you're in a bad relationship at home with your parents, or you had a bad relationship, how you live your life going forward will show them the respect and honor that they may never have deserved or earned. I like to quote Psalm 27, verse 10, as kind of some encouraging words for you. Because it says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. That is a beautiful scripture. I just actually put that in my notes this morning when I read that, because I thought that is encouraging for those that maybe have not had a good family growing up. But you can change that. You can make the change and you could do things differently, again, showing them the honor and respect. Let's go to John 19. Because it doesn't end when you turn 18, guys and gals. Just because you turn 18 years old doesn't mean that's a magical number and all of a sudden you have to stop being obedient to your parents or you could do whatever you want to do. John chapter 19. I don't know if I said 18, but John 19. Gonna need glasses soon. It's not good. Actually, I do have glasses at home, but they're reading glasses. But apparently, I don't make my notes big enough. All right, John 19. This is a good example. Then Jesus saw his mother and the disciple who was dear to him. And we know that to be John. He said to his mother, Mother, here is your son. Then he said to his disciple, There is your mother. And from that hour, his disciple took her to his house. Jesus was not having a cup of coffee sitting there and just having a nice conversation with John about his mother. He was nailed to a stake. He could hardly breathe. He couldn't even get the oxygen in his lungs to be able to take a breath. And in his dying moments, he was more concerned about his mother being taken care of than he was his own life. And he was 33 and a half years old. That's the example that Christ set for us and how we're supposed to show honor to our parents when they get older. And he takes it further. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Because this takes it further into life. I think about that with Christ on the stake. I mean, bleeding and dying and gasping for air, and he's still concerned about his mother. Showing honor to his mother and his father. His mother, anyway, his father, who he's going to see just in a short time. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. It says, do not rebuke. That word rebuke means to actually show disrespect. Do not show disrespect to an older man, but exhort him as a father, and younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger as sisters, with all purity. You know what that means? That means that we are to show all people who are older than us respect and honor just as we would our own parents. You don't show disrespect to other people because you wouldn't show disrespect to your parents, to your mother and your father. He says in verse 3, honor the widows who are really widows. Show them that weight and that magnificence and that respect. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. I have that underlined in my Bible and in my notes. Repay their parents. You know, I spent some time with my granddaughter. And I say this because it's been a while since I've had kids, and my baby's 22. So I forget, you know, how much diapers cost, and I forget how much time you actually have to spend with them. You can't keep your eye off of them for 1 minute. You know, she's 4 months old almost, and she's almost rolling over. So in another month, she's going to be doing this all over the floor, going crazy. But repay your parents. In other words, when she drooled out of her mouth, you had to wipe it off. When she went to the bathroom, you had to change her diaper. You had to hold her and care for her and love her and show her that great concern and love. And you know what? As parents, sometimes you get older and you're not as healthy or as strong as you used to be. And then we have a responsibility as children and grandchildren to take care of our parents and to repay them for all the things that they did for us. The sacrifice of their time and their love and everything that a parent gives to their children. We're supposed to pay that back to our parents when they get older. He says, for this is good and acceptable before God. God is watching. He's looking down and he sees. He says, this is what you're supposed to do, guys and gals. Verse 8, but if anyone doesn't provide for his own, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, how many feasts you attended, or how many Sabbath services you've been to, or even if you speak, or if you serve, it doesn't matter what you've done. God says, if you can't take care of your parents when they get older, and you can't show them that love and that honor, then you're worse than somebody who doesn't even know the truth. I didn't write this, God did. Again, the fifth commandment is that bridge between the two commandments. In the first commandment, we learned to put God and make him the priority. The second was about not having any images to recreate anything that God looks like. And then, of course, the third was about not taking his name in vain. Again, these are things that have to show honor and respect to our Father in heaven. Again, he's our Father. Honor him. And then the fourth commandment was that sign in the Sabbath between us and God. Matthew 10:37, you don't have to turn there, but it says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, some have taken this to the other extreme. They've said, oh, if you talk to your parents, then you can't be in the church. That's not what this means. This means that you need to show honor and respect to God first. And if we learn how to do that, then we can take care of our parents. And we should have learned how to take care of our parents because, again, our parents have a responsibility to teach their children so that they can have that relationship with God when they get older. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15, and let's take a look at somebody who was given a command from God. And remember, we talk about obedience. Let's take a look at somebody here who was told to do something by God, but didn't. 1 Samuel chapter 15. God was told Saul here to destroy Amalek. He told him, he says, destroy them all. Verse 3. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman and infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. I don't want to see a living thing alive. I want them all gone. God had his reasons, but this is the command that he gave to Saul. So what happens? Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and that were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. So Saul made an executive decision here to be able to try to keep some of the good things and get rid of the bad things. And he's the one, you know, God says, I don't want to see it alive. Kill them all. And then we know what happened here about God saying how he regretted choosing Saul and picking Saul to be king and that he wasn't going to be king going any further. Drop down to verse 30. Saul said, then he said, I have sinned. Duh. Yeah, because you just found out you're going to lose everything. You should have listened to God the first time. He says, but this amazed me. He says, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. He was more interested in having himself being given honor than the honor that he was supposed to be given to God. Again, this is a direct disobedience to God the Father. And again, as children, we have to follow that obedience all the way through. Last but not least, honoring others. Again, the fifth commandment is very, very special to God. Again, we don't kill somebody, right? We don't hate them. So we show that love to one another. We don't commit adultery. We honor the marriage covenant. We don't go around sleeping with other guys and wives, spouses. We don't steal, right? We love somebody. We respect what they have. We don't take from them. And their word, and we don't lie, and we don't covet. Again, these commandments all tie together, and they all flow together into one. Again, if you don't show respect, learn that respect from your parents, you're going to have a hard time doing that later in life to other people. It's going to be very difficult. We're close by. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. This story, I remember when I was growing up, this story literally makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. 2 Kings 2, verse 23. I'm going to read this from the Good News Bible. It says, Elijah left off Jericho to go to Bethel, and on the way, some boys came out of town and made fun of him. And they said, get out of here, Baldy, they shouted. So apparently Elijah was follically challenged. I say that in love because I'm starting to lose mine too. So it happens. But these children made fun of him. And Elijah turned around in verse 24 and glared at them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And then two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys to pieces. 42 boys lost their lives that day because they could not show respect to others. 42 parents had to mourn the loss of their children because of their disrespect. Remember, brethren, God put these stories in this Bible for us to learn some very valuable lessons. Someday we're going to have an opportunity to be a part of God's family. All will have a part because we're all God's children. Remember that. He's watching over us, and he wants to see how are we treating other people. Matthew 7, the golden rule, whatever you wanted men to do to you, do to them. You want respect? You have to give respect. I don't have time, but I'm going to just kind of just glance over a few scriptures. You can jot these down and look these up a little later. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, to honor all men. All men, not some, honor all men. Honor the king. Honor the king. You know, give me an example. If you're going to go meet the president of the United States, so whether that's Donald Trump or it's Joe Biden, you wouldn't walk up to him and call him, "Hey, Donald, hey, Joe, how's it going?" It's Mr. President. It's Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden. It's showing them that respect and that honor that they have for that office. Or if they give a mandate for wearing a mask, you wear a mask. I don't like to wear a mask. I sleep with a breathing machine. But I do it because out of respect for what is being asked of me. Leviticus 19:32 says, honor the old man and woman. You know, if we ever get back together and have potlucks, let the older people go first. That's respectful. If you're sitting down at a table and you're sitting in a chair and an older person comes up to you and they're older than you, give them your chair. That's the right thing to do. It's showing them respect. 1 Timothy 5:17 says we're to give double honor to the elders of the church. This doesn't mean that we put the ministers on a pedestal, but we show them double honor because we didn't put them in that position. God did. They're serving us because it says here that they have a responsibility to labor in God's word. So they have a responsibility to show that honor and respect by following and obeying what God teaches and teaches them how to do. Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." 1 Timothy 6:1 says, "Servants, honor your masters." Employees, if you work for somebody, honor your employers. Work hard. Don't talk bad about them behind your back. Again, we're supposed to be setting an example. It's supposed to be living this way of life right here. This is how we honor our parents. When we go out in the workforce, we are reflecting who we are from our parents to others in the world. And lastly, 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, give honor to your wives so that your prayers don't be hindered." Again, God takes this commandment very seriously as we push this out amongst all the branches here from God to other people. We show respect by what we say and how we act. Again, showing somebody their honor and their honor by calling them by their first name is disrespectful. It's showing that honor to them by their last names. So today we learned that we're to obey and honor. That word honor is that weight or magnificence and respect. And it doesn't stop when you turn 18 years old, guys and gals. It doesn't. And if our parents do things right or that are not right, we show them honor by how we live our life. How we live it now. Not how you were treated. And we saw that the commandment is the bridge between the first four and the last five. And that showing honor and respect to God and others fully embodies all 10 of God's commandments. I'd like to close in Proverbs 21. It's a short verse. Proverbs 21:21. It says, "He who follows," that word follows means to run after. "He who follows or runs after righteousness and finds mercy finds life," which was one of the benefits of keeping the fifth commandment. "He finds righteousness," which we know in Psalm 119, verse 172, is the definition of keeping God's commandments. And he also finds honor, which is that weight or esteem this or respect. So, brethren, if we are keeping God's commandments, we will then learn how to show proper respect and honor to everyone. Happy Sabbath.